In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. On this day of the Ascension, we're looking forward. Christians are always looking forward. Christians are always looking to the last day. And the Ascension points us to the last day in actually more than one way. One obvious way is the last thing almost that was said in the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, which St. Luke wrote and is basically more or less a long addendum to the Gospel. It's just the second chapter, shall we say, of his Gospel. And they're staring up into heaven. The Lord has risen on a cloud into the sky, past their sight, into the heavens. And they're staring at it. You know, much like sometimes, you know, you let loose a balloon and you just keep looking until you can not see it anymore. And two angels came and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you staring up into heaven? The same man will come again in the same way in which he has left." So this is a promise about the second coming. And it will occur in that way. It will occur over the Mount of Olives, the Lord coming in majesty as a king. He always is a king, but he didn't really appear so much to be a king in his first time on earth. Although he claimed to be a king and is a king, he wasn't treated like one. In this second time that he comes, he'll come in majesty and in glory. And 1 Thessalonians especially describes this cataclysmic event, this end of the world and the recreation of it into a new one, and the resurrection of all who have died, and the raising of all those who are still living to join the Lord with those who have died with eternal perfect bodies in the heavens and to be always with the Lord. Ascension points towards that event when the angel tells them, "Why are you staring into heaven?" The Ascension also, of course, was necessary because Christ said that if he did not come, go away, then the Holy Spirit would not come. And so he went away so that the Holy Spirit would come. Of course, he's not left us. He has just stopped walking the earth and preaching on hillsides and distributing loaves and fishes to the world. He's expecting us to do those things now, but he is still present and always was present and always will be, and especially in the Eucharist, his body and blood are present. So he's no longer walking the earth, and the Holy Spirit now comes to fill us with knowledge, to tell us the things concerning God, to convict us concerning sin, to give us courage, to help us with attaining to purity and the following of the commandments. And of course, the middle thing in this story, because the first part was the Lord saying, "If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come." The last part is where the angels are saying, "He will come again in the same way." The middle part is what we're celebrating as the main idea of the feast, that the Lord ascended into heaven. And he ascended into heaven as a man, above all the heavens, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, as a man and as God. And therefore, we, having human flesh, will also be able to ascend into the heavens and be with God forevermore. So those are the three main points of the Ascension. But I think when I read this, the accounts, and of course the Acts account is much more colorful, it has much more detail, I'm always struck by the last part. When the angels, they're called two men, but the scripture usually says things like that, two young men. The angels say, "Why are you staring up in heaven?" And I take that as, why aren't you, seraphim, doing more? You have the church, you have the Holy Spirit abiding within you. Why do you still act like an idiot? Why do you waste time? There's no time that should be wasted. Because the Lord has ascended and subsequently sent his Holy Spirit upon us, the promise of the Father, since this happened, Why are you still doing the things you're doing? You don't have time for that. That's a message, I think, that we should hear very loud and clear in the Ascension. Now, the apostles had a reason not to be doing much between the Ascension and Pentecost, because the Lord had promised that the Holy Spirit would come, would be from proceeding from the Father, sent by the Son, the promise of the Father, which would give them power. They didn't have that power yet. But we have the Holy Spirit. We know what happened to the Lord, that he ascended into the heavens. We know that he resurrected from the dead, that he destroyed the power of Hades, the power of the connection between sin and death. Or that connection actually is still there, shall we say, the connection between being a human and always sinning. That's the connection that he truly broke. He made us able to stop sinning and made us able to overcome our sins and to not have them drag us down into the pits of hell. We know all that. So what are we doing with it? That's the message of the Ascension for me, especially. So we should try a little harder. We should pray a little more. We should struggle a little bit more. Now, the apostles couldn't do that, as I said, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come. And that shows something, I think, very intimate that we should understand. They saw the Lord rise up into the heaven, and yet they still were not ready to do the Lord's work. They still didn't have the strength. They didn't have the wisdom. They didn't have the courage to do it. Not until the Holy Spirit came. So even though they saw something that was completely unlike anything they'd ever seen before, they did not have the ability to act upon it. Now we, of course, have the Holy Spirit. But that's the only reason we can act upon the knowledge that Christ is God and that he rose from the dead and he ascended into the heavens and he sent the Holy Spirit, and that the purpose of life is to know God and to become like him. And we do this by accepting his grace and following his sweet commandments and struggling against our sins. We know all that. But without an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, we can't do it. And you can't have intimate relationships when you're, let's say, to use a modern metaphor, talking to somebody and looking at your cell phone. It's not possible to do it. I mean, we see it all the time. It's pretty rude. You can't have an intimate conversation with somebody when you're actually looking at your cell phone or when you're watching TV. Or when you're reading a book, you have to give your undivided attention to a person to have an intimate conversation. And so it must be with us. All this knowledge about who God is does us no good whatsoever unless we strive to have an intimate relationship with him, an intimate ongoing conversation with him, an intimate experience with him. And that is offered to us through all of the things the Lord did, including the sending of the Holy Spirit after his ascension. You really can't take any one of them out of context and say, this is what did it. Our Lord's entire incarnation, everything he did, his preaching, his teaching, his enabling the disciples through grace, his resurrection, his ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, the commissioning of the apostles, the church being the body of Christ, all of it, everything is necessary for our salvation. But we should take to heart the words of the angels to the men. What are you doing staring into the heavens? What are you doing just sitting around? We shouldn't be sitting around. You know, I'm glad when people are honest to me in confession, but it's really a terrible thing if I say, have you prayed for anybody? And they say, well, maybe twice this week. That's a horrible thing to say. We're Christians. We shouldn't be staring into heaven, or worse yet, staring at the TV or staring at the cell phone. We should be active. Christianity is active. Christianity is vital. Christianity is living. And so we should not be just staring. We should, because of the ascension, because of the giving of the Holy Spirit, because of all of it, this should guide everything we do in our life. If it does, then indeed, the Lord will comfort us in everything and fill us with His Holy Spirit. And all darkness will depart from us, and all coldness will depart. And the darkness will become light, and the coldness will become the fire of God living within us. But you got to do something. Christianity is not passive. In fact, Christianity is not only active, but the scripture calls it violent. And this violence is our violence against sins, against our own predilections to be lazy, our own ignorance, our own passions. That's where we direct our violence. And you must be very violent to be a Christian. So on this day of the Ascension, when we're looking forward to the giving of the Holy Spirit 10 days from now, and then past that, the second coming of our Lord, when all things are made new, let us just try to change ourselves a little bit. You can't change yourself a lot, not all at once, but you can change yourself a little bit. You can say, well, you know, what Father Seraphim said made some sense, and I really don't pray that much. In fact, I only pray once or twice a week in earnest. So I'm going to have a regular prayer rule. I'm going to talk to him about it, maybe, and I'm going to have a regular prayer rule in the morning and in the evening. And I'm certainly going to pray for others. I'm actually going to make a list of people, like he always talks about, and I'm going to pray for people, because that's what I was born to do. I was born to pray. We are born to have communion with God. And that communion is reached through us reaching out to Him as He reaches out to us. It is not just Him reaching out to us. It is us reaching out to Him through prayer and through our following of the commandments, our struggling to do what we're told. So change something. And then this Ascension will truly be a very powerful day for you. May God bless us and help us in all things. Amen.